talkradio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Sports Entertainment.
Hey, everybody, this is X Pac with D-Generation X.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. Listen to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Who's ready for story time, baby?
Hosted by Tim Stein.
Best there is, the best there was, or the best there ever will be.
The intern, Kane Kittens.
I am the best in the world at everything I do.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler Keishi Matsunaga.
I'm better than you, and you know it.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Acknowledge me.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
WTR Sunday night.
And remember, it's okay to play with yourself. As long as you have an action figure.
Before I intro this, I gotta cut this song off. We're being interrupted, so by something else. Figured this song would bring in the viewers. Hey, a viewer went up when we played this song. So it does, in fact, draw the ratings. This is WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. WildTalkRadio.com, twitch.tv/WTR live chat. If you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. Support the channel by clicking the purple rectangle button below the screen. Use credit code ROCKSOCK at $4.99 when you buy Metallica, Nikkei 30, and everything else. That is coming into the shop.
Let the good times
tag
roll.
Epic
the
partner.
Tigger just subscribed for 13 months. You woo, 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 you woo. A proper baker's dozen of you woo. I think you need more you woo for more viewers.
Thanks, Tig. Thanks. Thank you for 13 months and no woo. Anyway, I'm the producer, joined as always by the intern, Gang Kittens.
Don't hate on the oo-woo. Don't hate on it. He subscribed for 13 months in a row. He gets to put whatever he wants to in the message. Long reign oo-woo.
He's also a fucking troll. Anyway.
And you're not.
Oh, I know. But thanks again, Tate, for 13 months. We also have the one and only Tim Stein.
That'd be me. I'm here. Yay, everybody, celebrate, party, all that other fun stuff. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Find us, if you're listening to the audio version, find us on twitch.tv/WTRLive, interactive chat room, and I don't know, this UWU thing. I don't know. It sounds like some kind of Salt Lake City University.
See what you started.
Rock, for the first pick of the draft, I would like to be able to take this opportunity to... Oh, wait.
What's next week? Next week. We got to interrupt by the Kendrick Lamar concert, so it'll be next week.
Well, I had all this draft prep ready, and apparently I've got to just put it off to the side. Fine.
University
draft kit to be delivered by Wednesday.
Yeah, University in Washington, Utah. There's your kind of ooh-woo. I don't know. Anyway, yeah, the fantasy draft was going to be this week.
Yeah, that works.
But there's an I, so it was really not. I don't know.
Yeah, but the N is never usually included in the acronym.
Yeah, it's like conjunctivitis or whatever.
Anyway, so we're not going to do a draft.
That's the word, conjunction.
There you go. So we're going to...
Conjunction, what's your function?
So we're at the housekeeping. We're doing the WTR Fantasy Draft next week. Because Casey's not here, as you can tell. So we wanted to make sure he was around to do the draft. So that'll be next week for like a half-hour version of the show, as everyone else will be watching Forbidden Door, which is live next Sunday.
Well, I mean, unless there's another concert or a holiday or...
It's a nice night out,
you know?
You know, Black Panther's on television.
I might actually get a chance to start watching the AEW pay-per-views now. We switched servers on our TV service, and... I now have an expanded universe of channels, including all of the Peacock pay-per-view channels, mm-hmm. of which apparently there is at least 10 of them.
AEW's not on that, though.
No, I was just like using that as an example. I've got pay-per-view, sporting pay-per-view channels I haven't even had a chance to check yet. So
gotcha. So
I thought you were making reference to Peacock and relating that to the AEW, and I was going to be like, that's the wrong company.
That's not the right three letters.
Yeah. So as we were joking, you know, about the Black Panthers and the weather and
Kendrick Lamar,
right? What happened this past weekend for a week while we were talking about it?
Okay. Now I know that I'm the person that's go-to when we're talking about AEW, and I would say doom and gloom stuff, but I consider it more realism because I will praise them when they do good stuff, but at the same time, I want to hold them accountable for when stuff does not go well. They hit a historic number. This is the lowest ever Dynamite that they broadcast at a 502,000 viewers. Now, Rock, remind me, the demo, which everyone likes to use, was a 0.16, correct?
I believe so, yes.
Which is still down from what normal.
They're usually in the high 27, 28 to 30 something.
When this came out, there was a reverberation on the internet of, this has to be wrong. Like, there has to be an error. This can't be real. This was a day late, too.
We forgot the thing. We forgot the one thing why everyone wasn't watching, because it's Juneteenth.
Right.
That was the holiday. The holiday. That was the other reason why people weren't watching television.
Now, I will simply say this. If you want to use Juneteenth as the reason, you have to explain to me what Juneteenth actually is.
Mm-hmm.
I doubt 90% of the people who are going to say, oh, it's a holiday week. It's a holiday. That's why people didn't watch. No, it wasn't the Olympic trials on network television that took away viewers.
Yeah, Juneteenth is a holiday like Halloween is. It's not a holiday.
Technically, it's a federally recognized holiday now.
It's an actual holiday. It's
federally and in most states recognized. So, but a lot of people want to say things like, you know, let me say this first. Everyone thought it was a miscommunication. The number was wrong. You know, oh, maybe this was Fast Nationals. No, it came out. This is legit number. They did 502. Then, just like we all thought would happen, all of a sudden, everyone's trying to find the excuse for it. Oh, and this is where the joke came in at the very start of the show. Oh, well, there was a Kendrick Lamar concert that was being shown on Amazon Prime, which took away viewers. No.
Okay.
No, no,
so,
no, no.
So before he continued, informal poll, did anyone here know there was a Kendrick Lamar concert on Wednesday? I'm raising my hand saying no.
I don't give a shit about Kendrick Lamar or his beef with Drake, which apparently is going on right now. The only thing I knew Kendrick Lamar from before was basically he ended up on a Taylor Swift song at one point. That's the only reason I know his name, and it was because her song was on blast and not because of him.
Mm-hmm.
Tim, do you know who a Kendrick Lamar is?
Somebody who sings stuff?
There you go. So that was excuse number one. Excuse number two was, oh, well, it was a nice day out, so people were outside doing things and not inside watching television. That was dispelled by bringing up the network television numbers and showing everything else was up except for AEW.
Right, so, you know, that all makes sense. Everyone went to their product and left.
Right!
So. Yeah,
exactly,
yeah.
On a nice night. Uh-huh, sure.
Yeah.
There's also, you know, everyone tuned into the Olympic trials.
On Peacock.
Which I immediately called bullshit on because, one, I don't even know what trials were on network television that night. And two, no one gives a shit about Olympic trials. They only care about the actual Olympics. And even still, for the Olympics, there's only two or three sports that people actually tune in on. And that's track and field and gymnastics. You might get a little bit of a bump for, like, softball, baseball, but mainly it's been proven it is, like, track and field, it is gymnastics, and then if you happen to have, like, a Michael Phelps out there, swimming.
Mm-hmm.
So I call bullshit on the Olympic trials. We then found out what mainly was probably the biggest deal about this, and this says a lot about the audience, was the fact that Warner Brothers Discovery came out and basically said, well, what happened was we didn't have the usual Big Bang lead-in, and we ran Black Panther instead. Some people will say it was run for Juneteenth, you know.
Yeah, it was. That was the exact reason. Yeah.
For that. But that says a lot about the audience of the fact of you need the Big Bang lead-in to get even to a 600,000 number. That mm-hmm. tells me you are in a bigger ditch than we ever thought. Because what that tells me is your average audience, which we thought was about 600, maybe 700 of wrestling fan, is actually lower, and that your lead-in really does give you a 100,000 to 200,000 bump.
So, I'm going to interrupt with some more facts. I believe they thought the Black Panther movie was going to draw higher ratings. And two, on that point, they ran a commercial-free match to start the show, which they don't normally do.
With one of your most popular wrestlers in MJF, his first match back.
His first match back in 6 months on
free
television.
So you ran MJF out there, commercial-free, in a pay-per-view style match, and people still didn't tune in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not saying that this is where a lot of people will go, AEW's dead in the water, they're WCW in 2000 right now. No, I'm not going to be doom and gloom about this. I am going to be realistic, though, and say, if you look at the past month and a half, and I mean, even if you want to trace this back, because it's been about a month and a half since the footage, right, Rock?
Something like that, yeah.
So you've had your three big signings that you champion trumpeted, and haha, look, we landed these three people. You then aired the infamous footage of Jack Perry and CM Punk. You then had, you know, your one pay-per-view. You brought back MJF, your big ratings person, because you were seeing the decline that was happening, and you've now hit your all-time lowest show in the five-year history of the company.
Correct.
This is when you really need to stop and take a look at yourself. You can make all these excuses that you want. You can say, oh, well, this is where the best wrestle, this is where this is, this is that, etc. No, you need to stop, and you need to do some serious accounting on what you need to do moving forward, because your dream match booking and scenario isn't pulling in fans. Are you catering to people who are already fans? Absolutely. But you're not bringing in people, and that's going to kill you. You have a big pay-per-view coming up this week, but you've done nothing to hype up one of your biggest matches, which is Jon Moxley versus Naito.
He's too busy in Japan doing blood sport.
Moxley?
Yeah.
Well, I understand that, but I mean, let's put it this way. No, WWE does a really great job of putting packages together to make you care.
Oh, no. He's saying it, calling them just concussion.
Oh, wait, just that's fantastic.
Yep, that was the line that I saw today. Just concussions.
So wait, if he has a concussion, in theory, you're not really going to be cleared within a week.
Didn't say he had a concussion, but he's talking about how real pro wrestling is. While his blood's dripping down, and just talk about just concussions. And
that's that is fantastic, John.
Yeah,
I can't wait to have your brain donated for CTE research later.
I'll alert Chris Nowinski.
But you've got these matches that, I mean, they've already got 10 matches on the Forbidden Door card. And I mean, if you look on Twitter, if you talk to the AEW fanatic, they're uber excited about this. And that's great. That will pull in your usual numbers. But what are you doing to grow? With year five, you should start growing your company. And they haven't been. This is the biggest problem for them. And they just want to ostrich themselves. And this is what's going to hurt them. They've done so much of like, we're going to sign Mercedes Moné. Fantastic. You've had her wrestle three matches for you. But I can't really tell you anything about her. Aside from she is the, quote, CEO, which the song makes you chant. And that she likes to dance around a lot. That is her entire persona to me. It's like, okay, she does her little dance, and then I guess she wrestles. Awesome.
Yeah.
You hot-shotted your world title match with a guy who just earned a belt, taking on someone that you want to see on the rise, and you've kind of turned him into a heel a little bit in this feud, I think. So, am I supposed to cheer Ospreay? Am I supposed to cheer Swerve?
Yes.
I mean, you feel like you've kind of blown your load going into All In because, well, the Owen winner is getting the shot at All In, but you want probably your biggest UK person there. So are you going to take the belt off of Swerve to let Ospreay be the champion in London? There's a lot I want to say that's happening that they don't see 3 to 6 months in advance. Now, contrary, WWE, on the other hand, you could say they forward book a little bit too much, in a sense, because some people want to see CM Punk and Drew McIntyre already, but that's probably going to be built towards SummerSlam, right?
Yes.
Probably not going to do that at Money in the Bank.
No.
But
you save it for the big stadium.
You save it for the big stadium. And the thing is by the time they get to SummerSlam, and I saw what someone said, no, you do not start them off in Hell in a Cell. That is the blow-off match. Mm-hmm. You let them beat the shit out of each other first, and then you go, okay, you've done that. This still isn't settled. Now let's put you inside of a cage and watch you just annihilate one another. But what it does is it draws you to want to see how this whole story plays out. And we'll talk about another two topics here where they've let this story build and have turned into something that makes you want to tune in every week to see. With AEW, honest to God, I don't know what you're going to get week to week because Tony doesn't throw out the card until Wednesday morning on some matches. And like one or two, you might go, okay, there's something here. But in other matches, I go, why is this done? Why are we having another 8-man or 6-man tag with these random people just because? And in a sense, I understand it's like, oh, well, you have a couple of different storylines in there. Yeah, but the reason you do a 6 or an 8-man is so that the two people who are supposed to be feuding with one another don't touch until the big match. Yet earlier this week, we had I believe it was an 8-man with Orange Cassidy and Zack Sabre on either side of the match. Right, Rock?
Mm-hmm.
They spent like 5 minutes working each other.
Yes.
Why are you giving that away when it should be you should tune into the pay-per-view to watch these guys go? Now, can they like maybe throw a couple of punches or hit a big move? Sure. But you don't want to see them work each other for a prolonged time because at that point I go, I've already seen this on free TV. Why do I want to pay now to see that again?
Because you're a diehard wrestling fan who needs to see the full match, the blow off, and everything like that.
Okay, but then there's 9 other matches that I have to give my attention to. It gets lost in the shuffle. Sami Zayn brought up a great point with like the 5-match WWE card. Yes, it hurts people because they don't get on the card, but when you're on the card, it means you're a big deal. It means you need to pay attention to this. When you've got 13 matches on a card, and we talked about this at length on CB Radio Not So Live, after every AEW pay-per-view. When you've got 13 matches, you don't feel like you can breathe at any point. And there are some matches on there that, honest to God, belong on a Dynamite or a Rampage than they do a pay-per-view card. But you want to feel like we can charge $50 for this, so we're going to throw everything on the wall and see what sticks. There's a lot of things that are going on now that are keeping this company, I would say, treading water rather than advancing in the race. And they need to start advancing, or else they're not going to be the ECW that they wanted to be when they first debuted. They're not the radical company taking on the big boy. They're PWG with some money behind it now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the problem. So next week, I really do hope they get back up into the 600, 650 range, because they need to start getting back up there. If they're anywhere near the 500,000 range, and I mean even 580, if they're in that range, there needs to be alarm bells and there needs to be meetings with Tony and whoever he needs to be like, what do we do? Because this is not working now or anymore. I mean, who knows? Maybe he does need to bring in Shane McMahon at this point.
Which is the dumbest story ever, by the way.
That was dumb. But I mean, maybe he does need to look at something like, maybe, I don't know, maybe give Brian the book for Saturdays. Focus your attention on one show, let someone else have one show, and build them up properly.
Here's the thing, so I want to move on, but he knows he is building them properly in his mind. He sees this as his vision. He's putting together his matches that he wants to see, whether it's on Collision, Dynamite, or Rampage, as he talked about, where he booked, Ultimo Guerrero or something?
Yeah.
And he said, many of you might not know who he is, but I don't care. This is why I'm booking him.
That's your problem.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if you know who he is. Make people care about who he is!
But hey, MJF's back, and so is Mercedes, and, you know, the Will Ospreay is your top star, who you should not have put another... the fourth ranked title on him while you're going to give him a shot for the main title.
Right, because now is he going to be a double champ, or do you have him lose to the main champion and now all of a sudden some people will go, oh, well, you've just killed his momentum.
Yeah, that was bad. The whole situation, bad booking. Anyway,
Like I said, I don't want to see them go away. I really want to see AEW do well. They just need to recognize that there is a problem, and they don't.
Yes. All right. Moving on to get Tim involved in the conversation. This past Monday night, on Monday Night Raw, we saw, finally, the debut of the Wyatt Six.
That was fun.
It's a horror
that
film.
That was amazing.
And the internet went absolutely haywire all night, Monday night, after Raw finished.
As it should have.
Right. Everyone thought it was going to be just, they're all going to come out and jump Jey Uso because of the Fireflies, or they were going to just jump so-and-so.
Yeah.
But they did such a good job of, like, building the expectation. Because it's like, if you debut them in the first hour, like some people thought, you still have 2 hours of show to go.
Putting them anywhere else in the show would have been the wrong place.
Right. But you put it at the very end. You leave it as the lasting image and the last thing that people see. And the first thing that they'll talk about, I mean, Rock, you tell me, what was the first thing you talked about on the Raw Post Show?
We spent 20 minutes on it.
Yeah, and it was done in such an amazing job of, like, they didn't just run out. They didn't just, you know, beat up one guy.
Each separate room had one member of the Wyatt family having taken out multiple people.
Well, they turned it into a horror movie. It wasn't just a beatdown. It was cinema at its finest.
Live cinema at its finest.
Right. Like Tim talked
also,
about. Hold on.
And it was one single camera shot.
Yeah, that's where I want to say kudos to the production team for being able to pull off and have everyone in position to do one continuous take, because it means you can't take your eye off it for a second.
No cuts, no nothing, one camera moving around the entire time.
But it was great because it starts with Nikki crawling out to get the lantern from the door.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, This is intriguing.
Don't call her Nikki.
Well, that's who it is for now, until they actually give a name.
Until they actually actually reference her as Sister Abigail.
Right. But then it's like she points, and the camera just goes to the back, and you see the utter carnage. Mm-hmm. And the best part about it is, and this is where I give WWE some credit again for its production, there's no Michael Cole, no Pat McAfee talking. It's just letting you take it all in. And it fucks with your head by going from room to room to room and seeing what all happens. And you start, and everyone started to go, who is this on the ground? Who is that? Is that Carmelo Hayes? Carmelo Hayes had to come out and say, not me.
Yeah, at one point we saw Chad Gable all beaten, bloodied, and unconscious.
He's dead.
Many people thought he was shot in the head. That had to get dispelled by Adam Pierce.
Yeah.
There were a lot of WWE officials tweeting, or posting, I guess you call it now, on X Monday night after the show. It was fun to follow.
And I mean, it confirmed who we all thought was going to be in the Wyatt Six. But oh my God, the cheer it got when it finally got to Bo or Uncle Howdy.
Mm-hmm.
When you saw him there with the arms stretched wide after the zoom out from Chad, and the crowd went nuts, and it's just like that moment just showed you like they did this right. They did all of this set up perfectly. Because everyone saw it, they knew what was coming, and yet they were still enamored and excited for that moment.
And the producer in me wondered, while I was watching that, how many walkthroughs and dress rehearsals did they go through to nail this?
Good question. Everyone can see them on the screen of what they look like if you did not see Monday Night Raw. It's stuff nightmares are made of. What I heard was there was a person holding a phone behind the cameraman that could have been like with a clock on it, counting down the timer so they know when to move or something, which is great. Yeah.
Shows they had foresight to be able to consider that, like, okay, we're going to have someone that can, you know, or someone off screen watching it all, like you said. And it's just like, okay, you've got 5, 4, 3, start to pan.
Yeah.
That's an absolutely excellent, accomplished director who mm-hmm. took care of all of that.
Yeah.
And I want to know who the hell it was.
Not Kevin Dunn.
No, the whole thing felt kind of Oliver Stone-ish. Yeah, probably only people that are into movies the way I'm into movies will understand that. Mm-hmm. Oliver Stone doesn't necessarily present the best movies or the best stories or the most believable, but his method of movie making pulls you right the hell in and doesn't let go.
Yeah, WWE's senior VP of directing or whatever is Lee Fitting. He came from ESPN.
Okay.
About ESPN, they know production.
And they probably worked a lot with what's his name, Jason Baker, who did all the costumes and probably worked everything out.
My favorite thing about the entire debut of the Wyatt Six isn't just what happened on Monday, but Rock and I and Lindsay talked about this yesterday as well. I loved the like 1 or 2 days afterwards as well, where everybody is starting to chime in, because the questions became like, who were the people that were beat down? We only saw Chad Gable, but like, as I said at the beginning, was there Carmelo Hayes? Because there was someone with a hairstyle that looked like Carmelo Hayes, and Carmelo Hayes had to come out and go, nah, it wasn't me. You then had like Braun Strowman had to come out and be like, I left the arena like 5 minutes before something happened. What all took place?
A lot of them did that. Hey, like, they made excuses throughout the night of, hey, this person left here. Sammy said he left right afterwards.
Yeah, Sammy Zayn was like, I was trying to post, you know, a code for my comedy tour online, and people were calling me insensitive because of what happened. Like, yeah. I appreciate that the entire roster, like, or, you know, like, good portions of the roster, like, bought into this and had to, like you said, make excuses for why they weren't there. Or, you know, Jey Uso came out and basically was like, they can have the Fireflies. I don't want them anymore. Y'all good.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's talk now that it's like, okay, we're going to find out why this took place. Like, why was Chad Gable one of the people beat down? Was there a reason for it?
So there was in some of the teasers and stuff, it showed why he was chosen. In one of the teasers, it said CG,
mm-hmm.
and because he stopped saying thank you.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So, again, there's stuff where they're building something to come off of this. And that's the important thing, because you don't just want to have this debut and it's like, this is amazing. Look at this moment and have nothing to come from after it. Because mm-hmm. the biggest thing that you have to do is carry this forward. And we talked about this with Bray Wyatt. He would have these really great cinematic moments under Vince. You know, The Fiend would debut and we would be like, holy shit, The Fiend. And then it would felt like he spun his wheels for like 3 weeks, or he'd get put in a weird position where it's like he should be an unstoppable monster, but he wasn't. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the follow-up is going to need to be something good.
Right, and it doesn't have to be that they're the second incarnation of The Undertaker and no-sell everything that happens to them whatsoever. Think of how horror movie villains are. What you need is you need them to be able to be seen as strong, be seen as something that is worth fearing.
Or something that can take a literal shit-kicking. You think you got the best of them, and then they show up in the next scene.
Well, and I was going to say, think of all the Friday the 13th movies. When you watch, Freddy is the stuff of nightmares. But at the end of the movie, there's always something that happens to take him down. That being said, he still comes back, and he's just as scary. That's what you need to figure out. It doesn't have to be that Uncle Howdy and Eric and Dexter are these unstoppable monsters, because I don't think you can have five people all no-selling at the same time. That kind of undercuts everything.
Yeah,
but if you have them as imposing, if you have them as, you know, nightmares, and every so often, we can get one over on them, but holy shit, they're still lurking, they're still dangerous, that's where this will have legs. If you have them go out there and, you know, cut creepy promos, and then they get into a match and it's 50-50, okay, what was the point?
Yeah, they went after Pat McAfee on his show, basically.
Well, it was funny with that, because the first part was a joke, and then the next day,
you lied.
Yeah, now Pat is on the radar.
Yeah, he is.
I get that it was a bit to help a buddy sell a book the first time. Now you got five crazy people that are going to be there on Monday. Whoops.
In Indy. Yep, should be interesting.
And again, if you want something really interesting, yeah, take out Pat McAfee in Indianapolis. All of a sudden it becomes, this is getting real.
And he would sell it too. He wouldn't do a show. He would have someone else do it.
Yeah, he's got AJ Hawk and his you know, producing gang and everything. Have Pat go out for a few days and then come back kind of shaken. That would be great.
Yeah, give him summer vacation.
you know, football camp's about to start. He happens to disappear. That would be interesting. But this is done in a way that I don't think it sullies. And I know that a lot of people, even on this network, were worried. And it's like, okay, if you try and do the Wyatt Six without Bray, is that just, you know, A, a cash grab, or B, are you even going to be able to do it to the level that it needs to be? I think we saw Monday, they're willing to give it the same treatment. It's just, can you do it right this time, in my opinion?
not to break the illusion or anything, but Thursday proved that the internet never loses. I don't know if you guys saw the meme or not. To the best of my knowledge, there were no words. It was just Wyatt Six, and on the right-hand side, standing behind Nikki, R-Truth.
Oh, that meme? Yeah, I saw the picture.
I saw the mysterious sixth member of the Wyatt Six, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the other question, is there a sixth member? Or is it, you know, honoring Bray leaving that spot open? Is it going to be Lexi? Is it?
I would put my money on them leaving that as a air quotes reserved spot for Bray. But if they were going to fill it, would it not make the most sense to have Alexa fill it?
I could see Alexa doing that. I also don't know if when she comes back, she wants to quite do that, or like if that's what they want her to do.
I don't think you need her in the group.
I think having her and Nikki together in that group, because I know they have the background and everything, but part of me is like, if you don't put Alexa in there, it speaks more to having Nikki in there because, like, Alexa turned her back on you and no one else was there for you. That's why we brought you in.
If she's going to play, if they're going to be different characters and not Rowan and Nikki and Dexter and whatever, and Joe Gacy, putting Alexa in there doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
They could go after her, but I want to put her in there because she's going to be Alexa Bliss. Everyone's going to know she is. They're not going to switch up the character name on us. Yeah, that makes sense. So we'll see what happens with the Wyatts. Another topic we wanted to address tonight was the debut of Jacob Fatu on SmackDown, destroying Cody Rhodes.
Yeah, I get the feeling that this whole next segment of the Bloodline storyline is leading up to a civil war.
No, we had the civil war. We had the civil war last year. We
were not on this scale.
No, but they called it
the
Civil
War. Talking about.
No, they called it the Civil War. So what was the next thing in the Avengers thing? Endgame something? What's the next one beyond Civil War?
No, Endgame was the last one.
So what came after Civil
Infinity
War?
Infinity War.
There it goes. Your Bloodline Infinity War is the next one.
Roman, when they bring Roman back from his time off, he's going to return as a great big huge baby face pop. And I just get I get the feeling that WWE Creative is in a position now to do a successful take on NWO Black and White versus NWO Wolfpack, but with the Bloodline. And Roman is in
the Black and White, and this is the Wolfpack right now.
So
the Wolfpack was the good guy version of the NWO.
Yeah, but it was the second version though. Rowan coming back would be the old version with the Usos, so reuniting the original Black and White to take on the new Wolfpack.
So my question is if this is the NWO taking on the NWO, does that mean the Bloodline has already jumped the shark like the NWO did?
It's getting there. Good.
It might be the end game for Bloodline,
but. Well, and if here's
the Infinity War, the Bloodline Infinity War might be its endgame.
And I've seen people say that like this is going to be the War Games match. That feels awfully quick for this.
No, I mean, you got time because it's still 5 months away because that's November.
Yeah.
Plenty of time to build that up. Shit,
yeah, you got time to get there. Because then you do War Games leading to a big singles match between Roman and Solo. At Rumble.
Winner regains head of the table status.
Which would then set the table for whatever they do at WrestleMania. Because I don't think you can... I don't think Roman Solo is WrestleMania. You could do that Rumble.
Figuring out where Dwayne fits into all of this.
What I was going to bring up. At some point in time, you bring The Rock in. But this time, he's allied with Roman. Well, what do you mean this time?
He stays allied.
This time... Rock and Roman are cheered in that boot.
Where the Rock is the one leading.
The Rock has been pulling the strings to get Solo into position.
Yeah, he's the one behind.
That's the alternate take.
Where what you can do is you can have Solo as, quote, like, head of the table, but you have essentially The Rock as almost the godfather of the entire thing. But I'll say this on Friday. If you're going to debut Jacob Fatu, him taking out three of your biggest faces pretty handily is a
just
pretty good debut.
Yeah, that put him on the map.
That Samoan drop to Kevin on the steel steps looked fucking vicious. Putting Randy through the barricade was bad. And then just the dive off the top rope through Cody. This is that moment where you see, I mean, rumors leading up to this point were that, you know, Jacob could outshine Solo.
He kind of sort of did.
You might see a little bit of that there. And I mean, here's the other thing. When I've seen Jacob Fatu with MLW, no offense to him, and this is not shaming in any way, he had a very different style, like body type. And I don't know if it was just the shirt that may have been covering a little bit, but he looked a shit ton more toned coming out with the WWE. He looked more, I don't want to say in shape, but like, okay, so he,
I got the word
you're looking for is cut.
No, I got the better example. He went from independent wrestler to WWE superstar.
True. And I mean, I'll even say this for Kevin Owens. When you see Kevin in like Ring of Honor, he looks a certain style. And when he debuted with WWE, he toned up a bit. He looked more polished. And in this case, Jacob looked more polished and looked more put together. And the thing is we haven't even seen some of the moves that he can pull off like we saw in MLW. There's that like moonsault where he can jump from one part of the ropes to the other and hit the moonsault that looks ridiculous.
Just wait for it.
Yeah, he's going to pull that out and everyone's going to go, holy shit.
Like literally, as a chant, they're going to say it.
Yeah. But
that, go ahead.
This second part of the bloodline looks more vicious than the first. The first was very businesslike in terms of Roman. Now, the Usos would do his dirty work, but with Roman, it was very much, you know, about asserting himself as the lead. This new group looks like they're just going to go in and beat the hell out of anybody who's in their way.
Yeah. So, one other topic of the evening. They were where this past Friday, Brent?
They what?
Where were they this past Friday?
Why, they were in Chicago, Illinois.
The home of CM Punk. So Raw Superstar CM Punk showed up on SmackDown, got the big hero ovation, met the Bloodline, got saved by Cody. And then, as Grayson Waller is talking to DIY, there's a knock on the door, the big giant garage door. Pans up, and there's a bloody CM Punk. Standing over his body is one Drew McIntyre, who quit WWE on Monday Night Raw, only to show up in Chicago, leaving CM Punk bloodied and then stretchered out in his hometown. Thoughts?
I love Angry Drew. I love him so much.
This whole thing is really getting people invested in the storyline who might not have been overly invested previously. I mean, Drew coming out and just saying, you know what? Screw this. I quit. Without any huge rambling speech about how he's been wronged and mistreated and blah, 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 blah. No, you know what? I can't take this. I quit. See ya. Perfect.
Yeah, Drew's done the, you know, I've been screwed by the Money in the Bank winner. I've been screwed by CM Punk. If you got hit in your home country, almost where you were born, the city, if you were humiliated there, you know, the title that you had basically won at that point, taken from you, what good does it do to sit there and rant and rave to CM Punk? Like, you cost me all of this. No, Monday was great because it was just frustration. It's like, you know what? It doesn't even fucking matter. I quit. I'm leaving here. And then it just sets up, I'm going to wait until you get to your home, and I'm going to leave you broken, bloody, and embarrassed.
Let's see how you like it.
Exactly. I'm going to give this back to you. Because Punk most recently has had the one-ups on Drew McIntyre, whether it was cutting the promo from the box, and then when Drew gets up there, Punk is down in the ring, whether it's Punk screwing him out of the title twice now. Aside from the initial injury that took out CM Punk, Drew really hasn't had a one-up on Phil. Now you've given him something. And now it's the kind of, okay, what's Punk's retort? As we said, this isn't going to be Money in the Bank.
No.
That's a little too early, and no offense to that pay-per-view. It's already got two matches that are going to be big and have essentially, you know, championship implications tied with them. You don't need Drew and Phil on that card. You put them on SummerSlam, now that match has added emphasis because it is the second biggest show in the company.
Yeah, your matches are going to be, what, Damian, Rollins...
Damian Gunther.
No, for Money in the Bank.
I'm sorry, for Money in the Bank, yeah.
Damian versus Rollins. Two Money in the Bank matches. I'm calling a six-man tag featuring Cody, Kevin, and Randy versus
Bloodline.
So Cody won't defend his title. He doesn't need to because he'll be defending at SummerSlam. You already know what you're going to build to that.
Probably against Solo, if not.
If not, someone
set
else.
Set up Solo versus Roman.
No, or do Randy versus Cody, something. You'll do something.
Yeah.
And then you probably have a women's title match, one or two of them, and then that's your show. So you don't need, like, that you don't need it on there. You have time and space for it on SummerSlam for the big matches that you're building, and that's a good thing because you're using the B pay-per-views to get a lot more people on shows, and then you're already building to SummerSlam, so you're not rushing 4-week builds to SummerSlam like you weren't rushing to get the Money in the Bank either because you had a bunch of people talking about Money in the Bank before even Clash at the Castle ended.
Wow, Brock, it's like you GM some of these things.
Right? You're booking in advance. It's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, they could find out how you would book something like this on Friday nights here if you wanted.
Exactly, on GM Battles. But no, it's just long-term booking. They're promoting things in advance and they're getting there.
Yeah.
That's good booking.
Something I've been a proponent of for decades.
Well, and that's one of the
long-term booking.
And that's one of the things that Paul has been really good about. Look at, people complained about the fact of the Cody second WrestleMania match. Oh, he should have won the first time. As we talked about here, no, having him go through what he did after the first match with Roman and build up, and then you get to that second Mania match and Cody finally finishes the story, that felt cathartic. To see that happen in the second one, instead of just, okay, he wins it in the first one, now what do we do? It's like, no, you had the build up for that second year of, okay, what's happening with Roman, what's happening with Cody, this is simmering, now let's turn up the fire a bit, okay, now it's ready to serve.
So, we'll see what happens. Long-term booking. Mm-hmm. Pretty good thing.
Got to love it.
But I think we're done, Tim?
I do believe that'll take us... To the fantasy draft next Sunday night, special 30-minute edition of WTR Sunday night because Broken Door is open.
Yep, Forbidden Door will happen. We'll be live doing the fantasy draft in between for a little bit. Don't worry, the pay per view will still be going by the time we're off the air. You won't miss much.
Yeah.
So there's that. But yeah, the WTR fantasy draft season 19 starts. The draft is next Sunday at 10 p.m.
We're already 19 seasons in.
Yep. Tomorrow night, though, it's the Raw Post Show live at 11 p.m. Eastern. We'll talk Wyatt 6 and more. It's the Raw Post Show 11 p.m. Eastern. Thursday night, it's 12 years of the Rack, 10 p.m. Eastern. Figure out something to talk about. For that show, Friday night, it's GM Battles, 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll continue on the road to WrestleMania. I think we're headed to this week.
Yep, we are on the final road to WrestleMania.
And a draft for season 4.
God.
So there you go. Saturday night, it's game night, WTR game night, 10 p.m. Eastern. We did Golf with Friends. You have the new emote, the golf jacket in chat, so you can use that now. Followed by Seaver live at 11:30 p.m. Eastern. As mentioned, we're back next Sunday, 10 p.m. Eastern, for another edition of WTR Sunday Wrestle Talk Radio. It's at WTR Sunday on Facebook and Twitter. It's at Wild Talk Radio, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Tim's on socials.
I am. You can find me on X at Flames Forums. And yeah, I kind of post about everything, talk about everything, stuff like that. But tomorrow night, I will be watching Raw on replay because 6 o'clock Mountain, 8 o'clock Eastern, Game 7, Stanley Cup Final. The Stanley Cup will be awarded. I will be following the game and posting a couple comments about it here and there. Will the Edmonton Oilers be able to complete what we call the reverse sweep, which is winning four in a row after being down 3-0. I'm not cheering for the Edmonton Oilers because I'm from Calgary, Alberta, and I'm a Flames fan. Calgary and Edmonton, we, you know, air quotes, hate each other. But if Florida loses tomorrow night, I'm laughing my ass off. Follow me, and yeah, we'll have fun.
Frank?
Well, you can follow me on Twitter. I'm sorry, X. I still call it Twitter anyway. Threads or Instagram, either at Kane Kittens or at Kane.Kittens. You can also find me Saturday nights doing the Intern's Corner, as well as winning the AI name that movie show, whatever battle that we've done the past two times.
Yeah.
And finally, yeah, the Stanley Cup will be tomorrow night. Will it be the first time in, what is it?
Since 1993.
That, will the Cup finally come back to Canada, or will it make its home, you know, for those summer and winter months down in Florida, like so many other Canadians do? We will find out tomorrow night.
You see, us Canadians don't look at it as Canada versus the USA when it's a Canadian team in the finals against an American team in the finals. Because when the final's over and the Cup's awarded, doesn't matter where the team's from, Canadians win the damn thing.
Or Swedes, or...
No. 40% of the NHL, sorry, 48% of the NHL players are Canadian. The other 52% are from every other country in the world. That is one heck of a ratio, friend.
And the amazing thing is that some of the best hockey players out there are somehow from Arizona. Go figure.
You're funny.
So this has been Fire and Ice live right here on the Wild Talk Radio. And we'll see you next Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, for another edition of Wrestle Talk Radio and the WTR Fantasy Draft. We'll see you next Sunday. Send us home, Tim.
Have yourselves a great week, everybody. We'll catch you next Sunday night. Enjoy everything that's coming up this week. Brent, say something.
He shoots. He scores. Hey, goalie, you suck.